trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. All over the Great Lakes State, all over the world at wildmichiganradio.com. Very happy to have you here another year. Going into our 16th year now. Just wound up year 15, made that landmark, doing number 16 now, all over the state of Michigan, and again, all over the world via our website, wildmichiganradio.com. I am working on currently redoing the website, the podcast, getting that all up to date and everything else. All things that we needed to do, but I've been on the road so much, working basically, I'm just going to say it, as a driver for my lovely wife, Sarah, and the job she's been doing. But again, it's put me in contact with a lot of cool people around the state, a lot of new places. In the first hour of the show, we spoke with our good friend Mike Green from Not Just Guns. Also, a newcomer to the show, Caitlin Beaver from Beaver's Lures up in Escanaba, Michigan, right there on Ludington Street. You can check those out on the podcast if you'd like. And right now, I want to thank our friends at Not Just Guns, also Conquest Scents, for joining us again into 2022. And my good friend Norman Smith, Diamonddale, Michigan. Norm, long time friend of mine, and honestly, and he's not gonna like when I say this, but truly one of the top ice anglers in the world in the art of tight line fishing. We've talked about Norm a lot here on the show, but we want to have him here on first and foremost. Norman, happy New Year, brother, and welcome.
Happy New Year, man. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Good to have you here. And I know you hate me talking about you like that, but yeah. That's too bad, brother. That's what I'm here for. But
I'm looking.
but seriously, Norm, I'm going to throw these names out there. You, Myron Gilbert, Dave Young, who we just lost, you know, which is a damn shame when it comes to losing not only losing a good friend to you and a guy that I come to know and understand better. Because Dave was one of these guys that had this like kind of crusty look to him, but just was the nicest guy ever.
Exactly. Yeah, he was he just loved the sport of ice fishing, and he was a great ambassador to the sport of ice fishing. He'd done more things for ice fishing than a lot of people will ever know.
Absolutely. You know, and then I'm going to throw in Mike Bodecker's name in there.
Oh, yeah.
Because you guys are all world-class ice anglers, and you're all from the Lansing area, which, look, I still don't get it, okay? I grew up in Lansing. I've lived in Lansing and the surrounding area my whole life. But, I mean, when I first met you guys, I'm like, how is it the greatest ice anglers in the world are literally from Lansing? And you're going
to... 50-mile radius, you might want to say, of Lansing.
Well, yeah, but I mean, look, if you're centrally locating things, you guys all worked in the area for the most part. But, you know, it's like in this thing of this tight lining that you do is something that needs to be taught and learned because it is so successful when it comes to ice fishing, and that's why I grabbed you here on the show today.
It's deadly. Yes, it is. It's a awesome way to catch fish. if you learn how to tight line, it's just a good weapon, you know, in your arsenal to add tight lining.
Now, as the name implies, it's, you know, explain how it's a tight line through the ice. I mean, there's not a lot of ways to attack the ice through a hole. There just really isn't.
No. You know, you got your spring bobbers and little bobbers and other ways to do it. But the way we do it, we start out, you drill your hole and you make sure you clear all the ice out of it. You don't want anything to interfere with your line. Then you drop your line down to the bottom. And I prefer to teach people when they start out is without a Vexlar or anything, because you have a tendency to watch the Vexlar instead of your your line, which you got to watch your line to detect the bites. So you drop all the way to the bottom and you start jigging up real slow, real subtle jigging motions. And what you're doing, you want to look down in that hole, maybe a foot, as far down as you can see your line. And you'll see little loops that you're making, you know, as you're jigging. And there'll be little loops in the line. And if those little loops do anything different than what you're making it do with your hand, or your arm or whatever you want to call it, that's a bite, you're on a weed, you're on whatever. But you want to work it from the bottom and just keep going up as far as you can in the water column, because you never know where those fish are in the water column if you don't have a Vexilar or something like that. But I did a show up in the UP one time, and those fish would not hit until I was standing on my tiptoes holding my pole right straight up in the air. They would come way off bottom and come up and grab that. And that's the honest truth. I got it on film, man. It's unbelievable. You know, it was just one of those days. And they had to be in a certain spot or they weren't going to come and get it. And that must have been their feeding zone, and that's what they were looking for, you know.
Norman Smith is our guest here, talking about tight lining. It's strange, you know. It's not when people go ice fishing, especially if you've never done it before. It's a very different action. It's not that aggressive thing that we see in the summertime. Of course, the metabolism's a lot slower. Yeah. Their motions are a lot slower because of the water being colder, and the bites can be so subtle. When you say, you know, watching the different loops in your line or the different characteristics of the line when it's down and to how it reacts is very important to watch.
Oh, exactly. Everything's got to come through that line. You can use spring bobbers or whatever else, but you'll detect a bite, you know, not way, you know, last seconds just before you will throw a spring bobber or anything like that. And that sometimes that'll make a difference in catching the fish and not catching the fish, you know. That's why it's so deadly, because everything's got to come through that line. And, you know, you want to use I use a 2-pound test, and I tie it right, you know, and I use a gold line. So it's visible in the water, you know. And I tie right to the jig with the gold line. Everybody's, you know, back in the day, you can't do that, you know. You know, when I first started out, I was using the leader line, you know, clear. Mm-hmm. I broke that off, and it was cold out, and I said, I'm just tying to this. You know, my hands were cold, and boink, boink, you know, we're still catching the fish. So, you know, that's just kind of a myth when they say, you know, they don't know whether that's a weed or a line or whatever, you know. They're just looking at that little jig fluttering down there.
Well, right. They're looking at the jig, or if you've got it tipped with something, you know, what's coming off of there, you know, be it a mousey or a waxworm or something. That, you know, with waxworms especially, because they have a tendency to fall apart so well, you know, they're like kind of like chumming themselves.
Yeah, pretty much. Hey, we've even squeezed all the guts right out of a waxworm and used the waxworms, you know, so they just float. You know, you get a little better, different jigging motion with it. You know, without the guts in it. It's just little things like that that change the way the fish are going to bite and whatever.
Well, you know, and that's an interesting. You know what? That's very interesting that you would mention that, because when you do that, it gives them that flat approach, which gives it a completely different dynamic in the water. And yeah, there's things that you can do differently, and definitely that is one of them. And you know me, I like using spikes because they're so tough.
Yeah, that's my preferred bait, and they're smaller,
right?
Sometimes that's what they prefer, just a little tiny you know, bait like that.
Now Norm Smith is our guest. We're talking tight lining here on Wild Michigan. Norm, we're going to go a little bit into the equipment when we come back to the next segment.
Sure.
So, hang on. Finally, good to have you back on the show instead of talking about you all the time, letting your ears burn. But Norm Smith will be joining us talking tight line ice fishing here on Wild Michigan. Make sure to look us up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Wild Michigan, here on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an hour to time. Interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns. Happy to have you here. Website, wildmichiganradio.com. And we're speaking to my good friend, Norman Smith. Norm is a world-class ice angler and a tight-line fisherman. And Norm, when we talk about these things, when we talk about tight-lining, I look at the equipment. You know, people, oh, I got to have this reel, you know, spinning reel on this rod, you know. Look, those things are all great, okay? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them.
Nothing wrong with it, no.
But the Schooley, is it D-Ma? I've never heard it called anything other than a Schooley reel, but the D-Ma reels, like three colors, green, yellow, red, just like a stop sign, made of molded nylon, damn near indestructible, and $5.
Exactly. Exactly.
How are they making money, first of all?
he's doing really well now since the tight lining got out nationwide here. I'm sure he is anyway. I've talked to him several times, and he just says, you guys put Schooley on the map, you know, tight liners. Dave Young, you know, Mike Bodecker, Chad Schwab,
Chad,
Anthony Rodriguez, John Whiteley, you know, all these guys are, Keith Niffen, all these guys are world-class ice fishermen, and they're all tight liners, and that this is what they use. And the reason we use those Schooley reels is because it takes, you know, all these tight line reels that they got now, you know, the higher dollar ones, they all came from the Schooley. That's my opinion anyway. They were non-existent until tight lining guys got into the picture, you know, in the tournament world and stuff like that. And everybody that I know that tight line, or not everybody, 90% of the guys I know that tight line use Schooley reels, you know.
You know, and they're not exactly the easiest to find online as far as a website. I found Schooley and Sons Tackle is their website. Right. And look, it's a very basic rod. And the depth marker, what I love about the Schooley reel, the depth marker is like a piece of a toothpick.
Yeah.
And if you ever lose it.
We throw those right out. Right. So we don't use those. You know, because if you get onto a pike or something like that, you know, your drag is your thumb.
Right.
You know, basically. And if you come to the end of the line and, you know, you got that toothpick in there, whatever you want to call it, you know, your line's going to snap. You know, especially 2 pound test or 4 pound, whatever you want to call it.
Well, you know, and the other thing is, too, when you add in their, you know, their spring bobber setup, which comes with the reel, the pole. The pole has got a little base that you can put on there to stand it up, and then the spring bobber on the end. It's like probably under $10 is what you're spending, plus your line and whatever lures you want, which, you know, the HT stuff is I'm sure relatively inexpensive, and you're not putting a lot of money into this sport, which is beautiful.
Usually, you know, what we do, Duran, is we just buy the reel. We don't the spring bobber at all, you know, as tight liners, and we don't use their rod. Everybody prefers their own rod, basically. HT makes the ice blue rod. It only costs you like $10, you know, and we use the ones that are 18 and 24 inch. And what's interesting, you know, I love the 18. It's, you know, when I set the hook, it's got a lot of give, so I don't break the line. It'll, you know, I can set the hook real hard if I'm fishing deeper water and not have to worry about the hook breaking, because it's just got a lot of give to it. And Dave, the interesting thing with Dave Young and a couple other guys, Bud Fainter and these guys, they would buy the 24 inch and they would cut the first 4 inches off to make those the ice blues rods there that HD makes. They would cut the 4 inches off, and they preferred the 20, and that made it 20 inches. So, and it was a little stiffer rod, you know, mm-hmm. that way. And that's what they like. It was just, you know, it was amazing. These guys are so creative with all this stuff.
Well, and that's the thing, too. I mean, you have the ability, because it's so inexpensive, to experiment with these things. And let me ask you real quickly, too. Has the addition of tungsten lures to your arsenal made the tight lining any easier for you to keep that line straight?
Well, see, you don't want your line straight. Because you want to be making loops in there. That's why you might have to slap it a little more. I still use the old lead jigs a lot. I like the Marmushka that HD has there. And I use the number 14, which is very, very light, and it'll hold those loops in there. If somebody wants to learn how to tight line, I would suggest using a 14 Marmushka. Because it'll hold the loops in there. You can read the line a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
With the lighter lure. And then once you get practice up and get better, you know, go to a lake where you catch millions of fish, you know, when you're learning this, for one thing.
No.
And
here's another question I have. Now, is that a horizontal hook where it lays out kind of flat? Okay.
That's the first horizontal hook I ever used, was a Marmushka. They're a phenomenal hook. They're bait. They've been around forever,
mm-hmm.
you know, ever since I can remember, anyway. And they're just, you know, they just lay right, and the fish go after them, you know.
Sure.
It's just a great, great jig.
Well, I tell you, I really appreciate you, you know, giving us some insight with this type of fishing, because I know more than anything, it is a visual to teach people, and trying to put it across on radio, trying to paint a picture can be difficult. But again, you know, I mean, look, this is why we always tell people about the classes that you're teaching, like at Mitchell State Park with, you know, the Outdoor Skills Academy.
Yep.
That those guys are putting on, and you know, and you're going to be on the road with those again this year.
Yeah, we got three or four shows to do it. We're going to be all the way up to Gogebic this year, and open out up there in March. So, me and Terry, my wife, she's probably one of the, you know, when it comes to women fishing, if these guys, a lot of these guys come and set by her, they kind of get away from her because we catch so many fish. Kind of putting them to shame, you know. And it's kind of funny, but hey, she learned how to tight line. I was real with her on, you know, I told her, you can't use a fish finder. You can't do, you know, until you learn how to do it.
Right.
You know.
Well, that's awesome, man. I appreciate you joining me here, and again, check out those Schooley reels, red, yellow, green, three colors. You can find them about anywhere. They're like $5. Look for the HT black and yellow logos for the gear, and look for Norm Smith on a lake. He's the one with the wife that's out fishing him.
Yeah, it's happened.
We're going to talk to Mark.
I want to talk about.
We're going to talk to Mark Sack in a minute. Norman, thanks, brother. I appreciate your time.
Bye, brother.
All right, man. More coming your way on Wild Michigan.
To everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors, thank you. From Duran Martinez and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here. First show of the new year. Been busy. Been a busy one. Mike Green with Not Just Guns. Also, Caitlin Beaver, Beaver's Lures in Ludington. Our good friend Norm Smith, Tightline Ice Angler Extraordinaire. And right now, to round out this show of greatness, is our good friend Mark Sack. Mark, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year to you, too. Very happy to be talking ice fishing, because I know we have ice on the way down here in the Lansing area where I'm at. I know Escanaba's had ice for a while, and our new friend Caitlin has talked about her doing well just on a lake near the Crystal Falls up there. And, you know, and there's a lot of people chomping at the bit wanting to get on the ice, but we want them to do it safely. You know, let this ice build.
Yeah, and, you know, the bait shop folks are the best folks to talk to, really, for conditions. Unless you know somebody that has just come off the ice, they've really got the most up-to-date information. And they even know, I was just reading online a little bit, and a fellow was going around and he was posting areas where there were heaves and cracks up on Little Bay Dunakin, which is a great thing, and get that word out, you know, and then people start marking them with trees or whatever so folks know. But it's really tough to go on that big of water and just venture out, and you see that a lot online. People are saying, hey, I'm going ice fishing for the first time, and I want to go out on Saginaw Bay, and you go, oh, no, don't do that. You know, really, I mean, you see it all the time, and you know, everybody's gung-ho to go out and catch a big walleye. But you got to make sure that you do it safely, and there's a lot to that. There's a lot about knowing the ice and what it does, and it can change by the hour. So, you know, it is very important that you really use your head when you're ice fishing and you know about it. So it's good to be around people that have done it. That's the main thing. Go with somebody that's experienced, or get a guide. You know, do something that is going to ensure that you're increasing your knowledge and safety out there. And then everything else falls into place.
Well, you know, today when we're recording, the winds are so bad. You know what? How fast is it that something changes, and next thing you know, if you're lucky, you're on a chunk of ice out in the middle of the bay, out of Saginaw Bay, waiting for, you know, the rescue squad to come get you.
Here's a story for you. Think about this for a second. 20 years ago, they opened up a lake in the state game area of Lapeer to spear the muskies out of it. Okay, there was about 40 muskies in this lake, and it is Long Lake in the Lapeer state game area, and they wanted them out, and so they opened it up for spearing. And of course, I got a shack over there, and I had my shack in about 11 feet of water, and there was probably 12 to 14 inches of ice. The next day, I went back and I went in to my armpits. And what had happened was the wind had cut a hole. And it can cut it so quickly, it is just unbelievable how fast that can happen. So you have to always be careful, because then it'll refreeze. You'll have this nice little hole, but then the top refreezes, and then if it snows over top of that, it all looks the same.
Right, right.
So, you know, that's why we say wear the floatable suits, use the ice pick method. You know, Frabel's got a nice set of picks that go around your neck, you know, and they've got covers for the ends of them, so you don't have to stick yourself in the ribs just while you're fishing. You know, you've got, you know, but if you need them, they are invaluable.
Absolutely.
They will help you live.
Well, you know, and the thing is, too, I was on a lake on Lake Ovid, Sleepy Hollow State Park, out ice fishing, not a very deep area where I was walking around. There was some trapdoor ice. I went through the first layer, down into the second, into about 6 inches of water, okay, even though I was a ways out from shore. But if you don't think my life didn't flash before my eyes in that short time,
oh, ice can rattle you, too. I mean, even good ice can rattle you. It always seems to crack and come to you. And the reason for that is you're the weight spot out there. You're the spot where most of the weight is on the ice. So when it starts to crack, it kind of curves one way, and it curves in, and it curves. And now it's curved right at you. And here it comes, and zip, right between your legs. Every time. And you can almost feel it. One side will drop a little bit, and you go, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what people really, it really freaks them out. At this point, when I know good ice, I know it's a good thing, because when ice cracks, it's expanding.
Mm-hmm.
It's not getting mushy. So, you know, it's, but it is, it'll freak you out, and it always seems to find you.
It does. And again, you know, we always talk about safety. We talk about it a lot, and you can never do it enough, it seems, because, look, I know not everybody listens to the show. I've come to that conclusion in my life, and I accept that. But if somebody is listening, you know what? Double-check your gear. Creepers, ice picks, floating suit, if you're that serious about it, or even if you're not that serious. And you know what? I wouldn't even hesitate to say one of these newfangled PFDs just because. You know, there's nothing wrong with it as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and once you go in once, like I did, you understand ice safety a little more because you don't ever want to do that again. And, you know, it was, I put my picks, my Frabel picks, right with my flasher. And if you store that with your flasher, guess what? You're going to take it out every single time because you're not going to go out without your flasher. So,
right.
You know, it's just little things like that you get used to doing. And it's good practicing safety anywhere you go, whether it be open water or ice. But ice, you need to do it much more because it can be so dangerous. You know, I've known quite a few people that have died doing it. And, you know, I don't know if folks remember, but there's a fellow that was the president of Stinger Spoons in Michigan, died about 4 or 5 years ago and was on first ice fishing alone. And all they found was his buckets and stuff out on the ice, you know?
Yeah.
And the thing is, you know, he knew better than that. Everybody said that. That was the whole thing. He said, man, he knew better than to do that, you know? First ice all by yourself out in the middle of nowhere. You know, I think it was Bear Lake up in the upper lower there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you know, it's – and so, you know, I always usually wait for other people to hit the ice first. I'm kind of watching them a little bit and you know, listening to what folks are saying. I mean, I don't even really like to go on Saginaw Bay anymore. I've seen such crazy stuff happen up there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, it's a wonderful place to fish. Man, I've hooked some big fish up there, but – you know, it's so crazy up there. It seems like every time we go up there, an incident happens, you know. And so if you're not with a group of guys that has been fishing every day and knows that thing, you're at risk. You're at more of a risk. So you really have to be careful what you're doing. You know, there are some good trails around. I mean, you can take a trail out and fish and find 12 to 16 feet of water and catch a few walleyes if you want.
Mm-hmm.
But don't go 9 miles out, you know, on your own without knowing what you're running on out there. You know, that's the thing. So I wish everybody have an outstanding season. I'll tell you what, there's such great products for ice fishing nowadays. I mean, I'm seeing guys sleeping on the ice for 3 and 4 days now. They're just staying out there in their hubs, you know, and it's just, and so now the companies are making bigger hubs so they can accommodate this, you know, and hubs are cheap. Oh my God. They're, you know, they're around $500 for a hub, you know, and guys are sleeping in it. Where are you going to get a place to sleep like that? I mean, they are very insulated.
Right.
Vented. So, you know, you can stay out there very comfortably, and now they're fashioning new floors, you know, and they're putting together these foam mats that snap together, and they're cutting holes in them and everything. You should see some of them. They're just outstanding, you know. So it's cool, and it's the best place to really take a kid out for some good bluegills, is put them in a hub like that. Oh my God, they'll love it.
All right, Mark Sack is joining us right now, and real quickly to the gentleman that bought my Chappelle Bay Runner, it now has lights, stereo system, and everything else. And why I never thought of that at the time, I'll never know. But you know, it's cool. And we're going to talk more about some of the new gear that's out there here in a couple of minutes. Mark Sack is joining us here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
Hey, this is Nick Musk of Michael Waddell's Bone Collector, and you're listening to my main man, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
Rifle in a gun rack, hanging in the back glass, bug knife on my belt, ain't no lamp for sale. Around here.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you here. Getting ready for getting ready for the big Ultimate Fishing Show in Detroit. Actually, Novi, the Suburban Collection Showplace this weekend. And then, of course, Outdoorama comes in February, and then the Ultimate Sports Show in Grand Rapids. All of those, I know Outdoorama is on point, ready to go, so we'll be seeing you at that one Ultimate Fishing Show going on this weekend. And some of the new gear that's out there, you know, and Mark Sack joins us here on Wild Michigan. Mark, you talked about hub style, but even the flipovers of flipover fishing shelters have really taken on a whole new life of their own.
Actually, with Otter, so I'm just going to put that out there first before I start talking about all these things, but and I've been with many ice companies for quite some time, and I've just done it for enjoyment. I mean, I love ice fishing, and I like to promote ice fishing. So, but the outstanding thing that's happening now with both, really, the flipovers and the hubs, is they're progressing with better doors. And, you know, it was kind of tough walking into your flipover and having to walk over the holes that you had already drilled, because some days it's a little slick, you know, around there, and so you have to be really careful. And, the companies have heard that, and they're saying, let's get some better doors. Let's get them on the side. Let's move poles. Now you can snap poles in and move them and snap them back in another spot. I've got the Otter Cabin, which does that, and you can actually, it's called a crossover because you can go up the side then. And that means you don't have to step over top of your own holes that you drilled. And a lot of times, you know, three rods in Michigan, sometimes you're running three holes inside. So it's nice to be able to do that. The size differences in all of the flipovers now, they've got probably five different sizes. And our big joke is, geez, oh, Pete, you got enough stuff in that thing? It looks like you're going to go give it for 2 weeks, you know? And you know, you like to be, if you're going to be comfortable, hey, let's be comfortable, you know? Let's cook some soup out there. let's do some of that, you know, stuff that makes ice fishing extremely fun, you know? And you're comfortable on the ice, you're going to catch more fish, usually.
Well, you know, the thing is, too, I'm gonna go back to my very first time ice fishing, because so much has changed in that amount of time. I was a kid with my dad. His friend had a little secondhand shop downtown Lansing, and said, "Oh, here's a bucket of ice fishing stuff. Here's an old Swedish spoon, you know, auger. Have fun." So we decide, okay, we're gonna go out to Sleepy Hollow on the coldest, windiest day known to man, with zero shelter, trying to get into the ice. Of course, we end up using like this 25-pound iron spud to get through the ice, with old schoolie reels and zero idea as to what the heck we're doing. Mind you,
you still had fun though, didn't you?
No, it was miserable. It was absolutely terrible. And you know, you would think an experience like that would have said, okay, never do this again. But it didn't. It drove me to want to learn and actually find better ways to do it. And that's what ice fishing has been all about for everybody.
Yeah. And that's what's really so amazing about it. It's driven a whole new industry, really, because we had the same old ice fishing stuff forever. But now, you know, we're using Garmin live scopes through the ice now, and you know, just, I mean, it's just such a different thing out there. But they've probably got more new products on the market for ice fishing than any other, you know, outdoor sport. I mean, it's just exploded. So it's a cool thing. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of people have gotten into it. You go up to Bay du Nord now, and you go walk in a bait shop, and it is impressive, man. I mean, it is cool. And Frank's, you know, Frank's has their shanty days over there. It's just a great thing for the economy, for the people that really love ice fishing. And, you know, I have a ball doing it. I mean, I'm on a little lake over here in Lapeer, and we have just beautiful crappies and beautiful bluegills. And every once in a while, a giant pike will swim through and freak you out, you know. And I mean, it's just a lot of fun.
You know, and look, I'll admit it. I've been indoctrinated by the Brian Brosdahl bug to use Humminbird and to use AquaView. And, you know, the first time we had an AquaView out on the ice, my wife was with me. She was then my girlfriend, and said, screams at me from the shelter saying, hey, something just went by the camera and it took a long time to go. Well, that was our first look at a pike, and we later, you know, hooked into that pike, but it was about a minute of a fight, and then it just snapped my line. But yeah, it was fun awesome. Because you can see how these fish react to different things. You know, I had a minnow on there. It wasn't terribly active. It would swim up, look at it, swim away. You could see it off in the distance. Changed minnows, livelier, fresher minnow. There went the bite. There went the line. And then a minute later, there went the hook. Everything gone. But
well,
you saw.
You just gave out the best tip of all time. For successful fishing is that lively minnow, man. Put that lively minnow on, and every single time something's going to go down.
It is. It's all about action under the ice. It doesn't have to be fast. It's just got to be something a little abnormal, you know, not what they're used to. And, you know, and again, if you're new to ice fishing, don't expect that big slam that you would get in the summertime or the spring. It's a very different world under the ice. Smaller is good, you know, and there's a lot of things too that, you know, I've learned over the years, and it's still a ton more that I've yet to learn.
Oh yeah. And I'm learning all the time too. And I've probably ice fished for 50 years now. So, you know, every year, that's why you are really doing it because you love it and you like to learn, you know, how to be successful at it. So, you know, Brosdahl has done such marvelous things ice fishing over the years. I mean, it's just caught such giant gills. I mean, he should be Mr. Bluegill, if anybody should. I'm telling you, that guy can put some gills on the ice and some really nice gills, you know. So, you know, and that's a fine art in itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've read a lot of articles that Al Lindner's put out on bluegills, too, and you know, they really are cool. And it's pretty amazing. In the summer, we don't give them much a look-see. You know, but in the winter, holy cow, guys will go out on 2 inches of ice to go get some.
Yeah, I don't get that. I'm not the guy traversing the open water with a ladder just to get out to the good ice.
No, me either. I wait till the sled can go on it, and I run out on big dirty cat.
Yeah.
And I pull my flip over, you know. And what I've done really, too, real quickly is, I marked those spots this summer with my bass boat with my GPS. So I probably have 8 weed beds that I've marked on our lake. So I can run to these different weed beds and go right to the spot, you know, and if there's nothing, nobody home, I'm off to the next one. That's all there is to it, you know? So there's ways to be really successful doing it too. And it's just one of those things that I've developed over the years that, hey, I need to know exactly where the edge of this weed bed is, because they're still pretty viable right now. You get towards the end of February and you get all the snow that has accumulated on the lakes and really blocked out all the light. That's when your weeds really take a dumper and they turn brown and they get ugly. Right now, you still got green weeds down there, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's why first ice is so important. But again, the safety aspect has to be reminded for people. I mean, it's exciting to get out there, but you need to remember that the first ice is also probably the most dangerous ice to get out of.
And, it sure is.
You know, look, you love bluegill, but do you love your family a little bit more? Just a little bit more?
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, at least take a buddy, you know, at least take a buddy with you. Don't go by yourself and you don't go be the first one out there. You know, there's no reason for that. Just be patient and it'll come. And you have more fish than you can eat anyway. So, you know, it's good to be safe.
No, we've got a nice couple of months coming, and the ice is just getting down here again up in the UP and the Escanaba area, where it's going to be 5 today as we do the show here. There's been plenty of ice, and we've been getting a good report from Caitlin up there that, you know, I've been seeing what she's been putting on the ice, and she's had some nice crappie and some nice bluegill, and waiting for her favorite spot on the river to freeze over to go after the walleye. And again, for somebody just out of high school, she's got a plan, you know, which is not the plan a lot of people will follow. And it's quite impressive, to say the least.
And I've seen some nice eyes come already from Beta Knock. So, you know, it's coming fast. It probably by the time next weekend rolls around, it's going to be time, really.
Yeah, it's. I'm looking forward to just getting out and being normal again in the wintertime and not being on the road like I have been all summer. But, Mark Sack, we appreciate you joining us as always, man. And look forward to seeing you on the road here soon, I'm sure.
Very good, man.
All right, take care. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Again, website, wildmichiganradio.com. We're going to do a big overhaul on that. Also, the podcasts at the website. And thanks to our friends at Not Just Guns and Conquest Sense. Thanks to everybody who joined us on this first show of 2022. Be safe out there, and we'll see you all next week on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.